Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
Today's episode is brought to you by SightReadingFactory.com. Do you hate teaching sight singing? Do you have a carbon footprint the size of Sasquatch because you run off endless sheets of sight singing examples only to hear your students groan in agony when it's time to sight sing in rehearsal? SightReadingFactory.com is a web-based tool that will compose custom sight reading examples based on specifications that you choose. Your choir will actually enjoy sight singing, and so will you. Plus, you will get back hours of your life and finally feel like the choir ninja you were destined to be. If that isn't cool enough, you can add student accounts that link directly to your teacher dashboard so your kids can practice or even take recorded assessments from home. As a sponsor of this show, SightReadingFactory.com has an exclusive deal just for you, Choir Nation. When you purchase their insanely affordable one-year subscription, you will unlock 10 free student accounts just for using the promo code NINJA at checkout. That's Ninja, N-I-N-J-A. So head over to SightReadingFactory.com. That's SightReadingFactory.com. And don't forget to use the promo code NINJA at checkout to unlock your 10 student accounts absolutely free.
What's the best part about being a ninja? The gear. It's the nunchucks, the katanas, the throwing stars. It's the same for choir ninjas. The difference between an ordinary and a masterful performance may come down to your most basic and essential piece of equipment, your music folder. My Music Folders creates a superior product, and they do it with a smile. And because they are friends of the podcast, they have a killer deal for you right now. Get the bulk purchase price break without having to buy in bulk. So whether you have to restock your entire classroom or you just need to replace a few folders, you will get the best possible pricing on the best possible product. So like a ninja, sneak on over to mymusicfolders.com and use the code NINJA when you check out.
Hello, Choir Nation. This is Stevie Berryman. I am the Chief Awesomeness Officer for the Choir Ninja Podcast, and I am filling in today for your host, Ryan Guth. It's been a year since I first recorded a solo podcast episode. Now, that episode was called Five Considerations for Writing a Bio People Actually Care About. Isn't that a nice title? It's very tender. It's very caring and supportive. It was not the original title of the piece. The original title for that podcast was Your Bio Sucks and Nobody Likes It. Ryan encouraged me to go with something a little less strident, and I'm glad that he did, because that episode ended up getting a lot of listens and being a really important one to our audience. The reason it came about is because I had recently taken a risk, I felt, by writing a bio that did not follow the standard format. And the response that I got to it really surprised me. My goal had just been to write something that people would actually read instead of, you know, glance at and then immediately forget. And it worked. It worked far better than I expected. So Ryan agreed to let me tell you all about it. And then that's when things got really weird, because after that episode, other people started writing bios that didn't suck, and then they'd send them to me to read and edit, and then when they used them, they found they had the same overwhelming positive response from their peers that I had experienced. So I started to think that this might be an even more powerful tool than I first realized. Now, I've refined my bio half a dozen times since then, and I have a better idea now of what really works. All of us who direct will at some point have to be introduced to an audience in some way. Maybe it's a formal bio. Maybe it's written out in the program notes. Maybe it's just you introducing yourself to the students in your class. However it happens, it is usually our audience's first impression of us. And we all know how important that is. So we are revisiting the topic of writing a bio that people actually care about. If you are a longtime listener to the podcast, you might already know that Ryan and I first met a few years ago at a national handbell conference where he was teaching some technology workshops and my ensemble, the Houston Chamber Ringers, gave the opening concert. But I don't think we've ever told the story of what happened after that meeting. After all, I met a lot of people at that conference, including most of my professional and artistic heroes. It was my first national event. The only people I knew were a few other Texas handbell folks, so I kind of spent the time meeting everyone. We put on a great show, and we did some things that no one else had ever tried before, and it turned out it was the right program at the right time for the perfect audience, and we had one of those lightning-in-a-bottle experiences where absolutely everything went right. That was opening night. So for the next 4 days of the conference, it seems like I did nothing but meet new people. And some of those people became my good friends right away. I would list you all, since some of you are listeners, but you know who you are. But not Ryan. I don't even remember seeing Ryan, except when I was sitting in the classes he was teaching. Ryan and I don't really have much in common, so I can't say that we became friends back then. But I really liked everything he had to say in his classes, so I followed up with him. Well, I pestered him, really, until he became my mentor. I asked Ryan to coach me in launching my own business. It was during this process of creating a business where I myself was the main product, as a consultant, as a clinician, that I first began thinking about my brand, what it was that set me apart from all the other clinicians out there. I've never been particularly interested in repeating something someone else had already done, so I knew that one reason people were responding to my material was that it was original. They were learning something new in my workshops. Even when I was teaching familiar concepts, I did it in a new way. And the other thing that people were responding to was humor. They thought I was funny. I know this because so many people have introduced themselves to me by saying, "You are so funny." By the way, if you want to absolutely mute an introverted Southerner like myself, tell them, "You're funny," because our first instinct is to deny it. We don't think we're that funny. But we can't, because we've been taught to accept compliments graciously. And that usually means saying, "Thank you." But we can't say that either, because that is the dullest possible response. Telling someone you think they're funny sets up this expectation for that person that they should reply with something funny. "Thank you" is 1,000 gallons of not funny. So we just smile awkwardly, silently, hoping for some kind of distraction like death by meteorite. But back to figuring out your brand. Well, in a minute, because before I can tell you how to figure out your brand, I have to tell you this other story. I've been a church musician for a very long time, but I've also been a church other things, a whole lot of other things. I've been small group coordinator. I've done media and communications and children's programming. I was even a preschool director for a while. I've loved all of it. And a big reason why is because of a summer internship before my junior year in college, when I worked at a church while exploring a call to ministry. In one of my counseling sessions with the pastor, Reverend Chuck Horton, we were discussing stewardship. My whole job that summer was trying on different kinds of ministry to kind of see what felt right. So I asked, "What do you do when you have all of these great programs, all of these worthwhile ministries? How do you know where to put your resources when you don't have enough to fund everything? When everything is important to somebody, how do you know what to cut?" And Chuck told me something I've never heard anyone else say, but it's turned out to be the best advice I have ever been given, and not just in applying to church issues. He said, "You go where the Spirit is already blessing." You go where the Spirit is already blessing. That means you look for the branch that is already producing great fruit, because that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is already working there. Most of us don't work that way. In churches and schools and businesses, we often do the exact opposite of this advice. We pour our resources into programs that are failing, and we do that by stripping resources from successful programs, because without resources, those programs will just fail slower than these other programs that are failing now. But sometimes the only way to get healthy growth is to prune the branches. And that, my friends, is how you figure out your brand. Where are you producing the best fruit? Look at your wins. Reread your evaluations. Think about all the times you've done something and you felt it went well. What was it that the people said to you afterwards? Ask your trusted friends for feedback. What are those words that keep coming up in all of these situations as your most positive qualities? Don't trust yourself to come up with these on your own. Most of us are terrible about recognizing what makes us special. That whole proposition is scary for some people to face. And it doesn't have to be weird and awkward. Just text a friend, "Hey, what are three adjectives that describe me?" And when people tell you, especially when people compliment you, believe them. For me, it was new information presented in a creative and humorous way. That came up time and time again in my course evaluations and in my conversations with other people. And there are certain people, mentors in my field, that I trusted, that I specifically asked to come observe what I did and to give me feedback, even at the expense of my feelings, and I trusted them to do so. But when those words kept coming back, I knew that was my brand. It didn't matter if I wanted that to be my brand. That's what people responded to in me. And if I wanted to be authentic, I needed to just go with it. So with Ryan's coaching, I started to carry that idea through every aspect of my business, from my logo to the titles of the workshops that I taught. Branding my logo with that combination, with creativity and humor, that was fine. Titling my workshops, that was fine. Using that sort of voice in the blog posts I would write, that was fine. But branding my bio in that way was an afterthought. It was practically an accident. All that happened is I was bored. Reading my own bio, I was bored. I knew I needed to submit it for a conference I was presenting at. It was a required thing to send in along with a headshot. And I just thought, I can do better. And I was scared because what I came up with didn't sound like anything I'd read before. But I use that bio regularly. And I direct or teach at a different festival every other month. No one has ever asked me to submit something different or more professional. On the contrary, within an hour of me showing up at a new event, I am usually greeted by someone who tells me how much they loved my bio, which I can't imagine is a common occurrence for anyone else. So here it is. It's nothing earth-shattering, it's just different enough to be interesting. I will likely change it again in a few weeks, but right now, my bio reads, "Stevie Berryman is shockingly good at video games. She can fold a fitted sheet so it looks like it came right out of the package. Likewise, her skills as a music director and teacher have also been acquired through long hours of arduous and dedicated practice. For much of her career, Stevie has directed 7 or more ensembles each week, meaning she has 98 years of experience in dog years. Her effusive energy and wild creativity found a perfect setting in 2013 when she became the artistic director of the Houston Chamber Ringers, which has let her smash together her love for music, laughter, and tacos in a truly remarkable way. She has a particular passion for teaching children how to ring, and her innovative methods have made her a sought-after educator at area and national handbell festivals. Stevie loves helping other choirs as a private clinician or planning epic concerts for them as a creative consultant. Her next step in global domination is to take over the choral world, which is a side bonus of her job as Chief Awesomeness Officer at the Choir Ninja podcast. So there you go. What I hope readers get from this is the sense that as a clinician, I am high energy and lots of fun. And I am. But I'm also really good at my craft, and I've worked hard to get good at it. So I also want to sound like I'm an authority and not a clown. And it's worked so far in the handbell world, but handbell ringers, we're nothing if not quirky. It's an absurd instrument, and I'll be the first to own up to it. We are one baby step removed from a vaudeville act at all times. It's much like NASCAR. The potential for disaster is enormous. So you might wonder how a bio written in this style would be received in other professional spheres. Well, it turns out it might even work better. For Exhibit A, I'm going to introduce you to my husband, Paul. Paul also teaches workshops occasionally and also presents at conferences, but his realm is IT security. Not the easiest crowd. Not one known for great humor. But he listened to my first podcast about biographies, because I made him, and he actually decided to see what he could do to make all the letters after his name sound more interesting. Here's what he is currently using as his bio. Paul Berryman is the Security Compliance Manager at Andrews Kurth Kenyon LLP, where he protects against the usual suspects of hackers, criminals, and bored teenagers. He's worked in IT security and education for almost 2 decades, following 6 years of swashbuckling adventures with the U.S. Navy. Since earning an MS in computer science, he's led security teams for the government, corporations, and in higher education. He's a big fan of colleges, having attended 7 different ones, most recently at the University of Houston, where he earned a doctorate in education, specializing in learning and technology. Paul has determined that strong security starts with teaching how to behave online. It isn't rocket science, but just in case, he has a degree in that too. Just today, he was the moderator for a Secure World webcast, and they introduced him to the participants how? By reading this bio, of course. And the response was immediate. As soon as it was read, people began typing in comments like, "Paul's bio rocks, swashbuckling even, and a rocket scientist to boot." The reason why this is important is because even before Paul said a word, these people already saw him as a friend and as someone they wanted to listen to. They heard a bio that actually made them want to hear more about what he was going to say. It's hard starting at zero, y'all, and we don't even get to do that most of the time. Often our audience is mad about traffic or worried about homework or stressed because they are running late or their phone is dying or they didn't want to be here in the first place. They start off in a negative headspace. If something as simple as rewriting your bio can flip that positivity switch before you even start, it will impact your entire interaction and beyond. It really is that important. So this is how you do it. Here are the 5 steps to writing your bio. Step 1, know who you are. This is all about identifying your brand, whatever it is that makes you special. There's something that you do better than anyone else on the planet, and you've got to figure out what that is and communicate it in a single paragraph in your bio. If you cannot articulate in a couple of sentences exactly who you are, go figure that out. Go look to where you produce the best fruit. Where are you your best self? What is that realm where every interaction is a win? It's important because step two means list your wins. Now, the best wins are the ones that make people want to cheer along with you. Just bear in mind that this is not and should never be your resume. This is a trap that most people fall in. They think the quantity of the wins they list is the most important thing. They're trying to impress the people who are reading this bio. Well, if you're applying for a job, submit a resume. If you're introducing yourself to the audience or to a seminar or to a class, they don't need your resume. They don't need to be impressed by you. They need something that's going to make them want to listen to you and hear what you have to say. So we don't need to know every degree and every award and every job. Frankly, we don't want to know. We do want to know if you bake cinnamon rolls for your choir. That's really important information right there. Pick the wins that are crucial to establishing your credentials. And then after that, just pick the ones that will make us like you. Step three, consider your flaws. Vulnerability can be attractive when presented in the right way. This isn't therapy or confession. This is not a time to cop to your imposter syndrome of how you don't think you should even be here. It's not what I'm talking about. It's just a time to acknowledge that you are a complete human, which means you aren't perfect. Now, I read a lot of bios, but I gotta say, one that has stuck with me is from Ryan Main, who was on the podcast a year ago and wrote in his bio a little story about the fact that he's burnt two oven mitts. I love this story because it tells you so much about him. It tells you he's at least trying to cook. May not be great, but he's made more than one attempt because there are two oven mitts that he set aflame. And the fact that he wants to put this information in there, even just a sentence about it, lets me know that this is somebody who probably has good stories to tell. And you know what? I want to hear those stories. I want to find out more. And so that little tidbit has stuck with me. The rest of the bios that I read from week to week, I don't know, there's not that much information in there that I have retained. But the stories that I can relate to, because I too have set an oven mitt on fire, that's what really makes an impact. Flaws make us interesting because flaws make us human. Step four, think non-linearly. I think this is what makes Paul's bio so much fun. It tells you the story of Paul, but not in a chronological fashion. Instead, you swing from one little adventure to the next. He tells you a story instead of a timeline. It's much more engaging that way. The last part of his bio, he talks about a degree in rocket science. Well, that was his bachelor's. That was his earliest accomplishment. But it's at the end because it makes a nice little sign-off. You don't have to go in chronological order. Step five, delete something. Once you've written your bio, go back and delete something, probably two somethings, maybe even three or four or more somethings. Your bio is too long. I don't have to look at it to know it's too long. It's a fact. No one is as interested in you as you are. I write the show notes for the podcast. I usually see two bios a week. Y'all, just no. I get some that are a page and a half, and No, I only read it because my job requires me to. Anything longer than half a page is really off-putting. Why would you put that much effort into writing something that people are not going to read? So half a page, and in addition to that, keep your paragraphs short. Forget what you learned in English class about complete paragraphs, topic sentence, support, and closing sentence. No, you don't need them for this. You need to have a break every two or three lines of text. Putting those breaks in will actually help readers keep reading. We are so lazy about how and what we read. If we see a block of text, eight lines of text in a paragraph, most people won't even start reading that paragraph because it looks like it's too long for them to want to finish it. But something that's just a couple of lines of text, yeah, we're willing to devote the 1.5 seconds it takes to read that. So help your readers out. Put lots of unnecessary breaks in there to visually divide your bio up and keep the reader's eyes moving through it. So who needs to do this? Who needs to write a bio? Frankly, I think everyone needs to, whether you see an immediate need for it professionally or not, because there is value in the process. Knowing your brand, knowing who you are and what makes you special, that's great. Being able to communicate it, that's even better. Because knowing that about yourself is really going to help define and refine all of your other professional interactions. So if you don't want to think of it as a professional necessity, at least think of it as a process of self-discovery. And in this sense, it's actually a great exercise for the students in your class as well. Maybe have them write their future bio for when they are a composer, or when they are a soloist, or when they are the maestro. What's it going to say? What's their brand going to be? What are their wins? What's their bio going to read like? So write a bio, refine it, and then let somebody else help you. You can send it to me. I'm happy to read it and give feedback, or you can toss it over to Choir Nation. Choir Nation is the Facebook group for fans of the podcast, but also other choral enthusiasts and directors. And it's a group where we help each other out as we all try to become better choir ninjas. So if you're feeling brave, put it up in Choir Nation and ask for some feedback on how to refine your bio. People there are extremely supportive and extremely helpful, and we will definitely help you out. Just search on Facebook for Choir Nation, request membership for the group, and we'll see you there. Now, to find out more about me and where to see me next, you can find me at steviebmusic.com. That's steviebmusic.com. And you can see where I am teaching next. I will be in Amherst, Massachusetts in February. I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee in March. And I teach at various places here and there. So find me and my adventures at steviebmusic.com or at Stevie B Music on Facebook. You can also always find me in the Choir Nation Facebook group as I moderate that group. And as a moderator of that group, I need to make a special thank you to a few different groups of people. The first group are our patrons. Guys, there is a core group of supporters who support us by giving money every episode. Through the website patreon.com, they have pledged $1 an episode, or $2 an episode, or $4 an episode. And they support us each and every week. And Ryan and I could not be more appreciative of this. Yeah, $8 a month, it buys us a coffee. But more than that, it's the pat on the back that encourages us to keep going. It lets us know we're on the right path. It lets us know that you guys value all the work that we put in to making this podcast helpful for you. So patrons, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for that. If you are a listener of the podcast and you want to help support us as well, go to patreon.com/choirninja and make a pledge as low as $1 an episode. You can also make a monthly pledge of $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever you want it to be. If we've been helpful for you and you want to give back to us, we deeply appreciate our patrons. Additionally, patrons get placed in the Facebook group, the private Facebook group for patrons only. And in that group, that's the group of people that we go to first for feedback. Sometimes it's feedback about a specific episode or a concept or an idea that we want to pursue. Sometimes we have an idea for a product or a service, and we filter it through that group first. So not only are they responsible for supporting us monetarily, but they actually have a real influence on the artistic direction of this show. So thank you, patrons, for all that you do. I also need to thank our sponsors, My Music Folders and Sight Reading Factory. If you're a longtime listener of the podcast, you already know that these are outstanding companies with outstanding products. MyMusicFolders.com for all of your choir folder needs, and SightReadingFactory.com for something that's going to make sight reading practice in your class and in your rehearsal kind of like magic. So check out both of our sponsors. With each of them, you can get a deep discount by using the promo code NINJA, N-I-N-J-A. Just ask for Ninja if you talk to them on the phone, or add it into your online order for a discount. Thank you, Choir Nation. I appreciate all of the feedback that you guys give to Ryan and I every week, and I appreciate your support of the Choir Ninja podcast. Have a great week and keep being amazing.
Choir Ninja Show. Bung, bung.